grandma and your grandma were sitting by the fire. My grandma told your grandma, I'm gonna set your flag on fire. You're talking about hey now, hey now, hey now, hey now. Ike, Giacomo Fino, Anane.
Ding dong, Las Culturistas calling. It's been a little bit of a hiatus yet again. Yes. We've returned.
Well, I've returned more specifically. I would say more significantly, I've returned. I know we both went on vacations the last time we spoke.
I'm not going to dispute that yours was the more significant vacation. Bowen was just in China, which is a country in Asia.
It is literally on the other side of the world. It's a perfect 12-hour time difference. I cannot stress enough that you cannot have more of a time difference than 12 hours.
You can't have more of a time difference than that, honey. And, you know, I was in Orlando where the time difference is the same, but the difference, you have a lot more fun there than you do here. So I will say
yes.
That.
Oh, yes. For a second, I thought you were going to say that you have a lot more fun there than you do in China, which probably is still true.
Well, probably. I would say the primary difference between Orlando and New York City, which is where we live and mm-hmm. where we're recording this from,
yeah.
is that you have more fun in Orlando and there's like more sunlight for a larger portion of time of the day.
That's accurate.
Yeah. I would say those two things, Orlando being a little bit closer to the equator than New York City happens to be. However, they do share a hemisphere, which we can't say about China, which again is an Asian country.
This is all true.
Yeah.
This is all true. We do share a northern hemisphere with China.
Absolutely. Never said that. I just want to say that I never said we didn't share
Toilets
a northern
flush
hemisphere.
Toilets flush on the same direction.
Yeah,
same
absolutely. Direction. Never said that. Never claimed that we weren't in the same hemisphere.
You just play the tape. Roll the tape.
Okay. Yeah, let's play. Let's literally play back the tape.
We don't have the tape. Guys, we have such a special guest.
We're
special.
Already laughing a lot because of him.
Oh, we're already, that's true. We're laughing so much because of him. Matt, let's list off the credits. Honey.
Yeah, let's list off his credits. Well, first, his mom has a friend who once met Colin Quinn on a beach and told him that he did comedy.
Another credit of his is that a Swedish... Sorry. Another credit of his is that a Swedish woman once...
Oh my God, this is so funny.
A Swedish woman once told our guest that he would do well in Europe sexually.
He has a teen cousin who has a vest that was featured in an episode of Scream Queens created by Ryan Murphy.
Yes, also he was unceremoniously blacklisted from the third installment of my show, Live on Broadway.
He's currently on a hiatus from UCB's Lloyd Knight. Everyone give it up for Pat Regan.
Hey, Ryan.
We also forgot to mention that he is the star of the lost episode of Las Culturistas. Yes. You may remember from Instagram, we recorded an episode with Pat months and months and months ago, really, when
first
Las Culturistas was
first
just
guest.
A baby podcast.
Yeah. First
oh, my
guest.
God. Yeah, our first guest.
And our first two-time guest.
And you're first now your two first two-time guest.
Because what happened was, for listeners who weren't there, there was a technical glitch. It was a good episode, I think.
It was
very
a great
good.
Episode.
Was it good? How does it stack up compared to episodes
well,
that you
Well, we haven't been able
recorded?
To listen back to it.
Right, I know.
My memories of it are very fond.
Same.
We were getting our sea legs as podcasters.
Totally.
And but you were such a phenomenal, resplendent guest to have on because the repartee was on point.
Right, it was quick. And I want to say right now that I already said off air, but I want to say on air mm-hmm. that I'm at a temp job right now that really frazzles my brain. And I don't even know if I'm going to be able to talk about culture that much, but I'm going to do my best that I can.
That's okay, because most of the time when we record this, we're very tired.
Yeah.
And we make a point of saying how tired we are. And I actually think it helps us get more loose.
It's
you
like
know.
When you wake up in the morning and the first thing you do is you write, you free write because
oh,
it just
yeah.
unloads the brain.
Whenever I wake up, I journal for 3 hours.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Very
absolutely.
Artist's way.
And then I turn all my screens off and go back to bed.
Yes.
That's my day.
Wait, hold on. Tangent. This reminds me of a really good joke in a Chrissy Shackelford character.
Hi, Chrissy.
Hey,
Chrissy.
We know you're a listener and I want to shout out. Actually, I'm going to shout out this character. It's your busy friend, Kate. And this is also in Chrissy's one-woman show.
I see a picture of
called
his character. I've seen
Diane Shangri-La Presents Not Dry Yet, which you should see running at UCB Chelsea. And also, I want to say, I'm now going to perform a line from it, which is a spoiler, but I'm sorry.
Okay.
Wow.
Cher character says, She's like the busiest person ever. And she says, here's a typical day for me. I wake up at 6:45 in the morning. I roll over, check my phone. All of a sudden, it's 2:15 in the afternoon. Which is very true to life. I mean, very frequently, I find myself not getting out of bed until well into the afternoon.
Do you guys turn your screens off an hour before bedtime?
No.
No.
Me neither. And I won't. I never will.
There's a new lifestyle trend where you do, it's a tech-free bedroom. Have you heard of this?
No, I...
A lot of young mothers are doing this in my office.
No tech in the bed?
No tech in the bed.
I could never.
Just no phones. It's a phone-free, laptop-free zone.
Wow.
So, you know, who knows?
Where do these mothers get the time?
I know, and where do they get the discipline, you know what I mean, with the, you know, vibrators?
Sure, absolutely. That's true. Because we all know that mothers are getting none. They have to totally rely on themselves. Their husbands can't do nothing right.
I don't think it makes any difference that you feel fried because
right.
of this.
That's
job.
How we got off on this.
I
right.
feel like we're getting off to a great start.
Totally.
We'll talk about culture in the way that we know. We'll do either low touch or high touch. We'll talk about culture as appropriate. Do you know?
You know, what I mean? I just want to say what you're missing out on from the last episode is we did talk a lot about Pat's love of reality television.
Right.
And that was that ended up being, I think, the theme of the episode.
Wait, and you know what else we talked about last episode that made me realize it for myself?
What?
Is that we talked about Lisa Kudrow, and since then I identified as someone who Lisa Kudrow is my comedic icon.
Yes, that's absolutely.
And I didn't identify that way before the episode, and then we talked about it, and I kind of found that in the episode.
What is the Lisa Kudrow vehicle of choice for you?
Romy Michelle's High School Reunion.
That's actually one that no one ever really shouts out because it's
no one
like,
shouts it out.
And Vogue to say, you know, the comeback lately, which, I mean, come on. Also Friends, obviously. Lisa Kudrow, famously most famous from Friends.
I truly think that I make up a story that I tell people like it's true, but I think it's not true. I think I made this up, but that Lisa Kudrow was teaching at Groundlings, and someone I knew had a class, and Lisa Kudrow was supposed to be the teacher, and then they got there, and she wasn't the teacher. They had a sub because she'd booked Friends.
Yeah.
And I think that's not true. I think I made that up.
Somebody also made up to me one time, I think, that Lisa Kudrow taught Kristen Wiig at the Groundlings, specifically. Like,
I bet I told you that.
Did you? Was it
no,
you?
I'm not
she
sure.
Did. She did teach, I think, like Will Ferrell and that.
That's true.
Kudrow taught Will Ferrell.
Uh-huh.
I'll say this. I think Romy Michelle's High School Reunion is so good. I think it's my thing that I'll watch when I'm like in the worst mood. I want to like give up on comedy, and it's truly a joke a minute, like, or a joke 30 seconds, and they're all funny jokes. And Lisa Kudrow is so like effortlessly funny in it. It's like
she's
an inspiration for sure. The fact that she was a biology major,
I know.
I didn't know that.
Was able to turn it around. You didn't know that?
And she got
biology
out of, and she got
major
out of that
at
dip, she turned it around.
Have you seen her commencement speech?
No, I know almost nothing about her. I only have seen Romy Michelle's History Union and Friends. And I like Friends to this day. But I think that Lisa Kudrow, if you watch it back, like, Friends holds up. But you really realize that, like, comedically, like, Lisa Kudrow truly, like, carries it on her back. Like, everything,
sure.
Like, she has to get dumb just to, like, keep, like, the Matt LeBlanc afloat. You know what I mean?
Know. Oh, for sure. She was doing all the work. No, watch her Vassar's commencement speech. It's wonderful. Yeah.
Did you know two things? Did you know that Lisa Kudrow improvised the monologue in Romy and Michelle's High School Reunion about how she created glue?
No, are you serious?
Literally, that's an improvised monologue.
Because she gets really technical in that monologue.
Yeah, and there you go. There she... That is using your degree.
Yes. Honey.
Right there.
Biology. Oh, right.
She used her biology degree.
Because did you know this? She majored in bio at Vassar.
Yeah, I actually
which
didn't
we
know
just
that
mentioned.
Until now.
Okay.
Also, a second thing I have to say is, Pat, you are growing your hair out.
No, I'm not.
Yes,
no.
You
what?
Are.
Oh my god, it looks
facial
good.
Hair.
What are you talking
Stop it,
about?
Not my facial hair. I really feel like this about my hair. I feel like I invented my haircut, no, it's not going to.
It looks
like
really
that.
Good. I right? think you should keep growing.
This is always the problem I run into with my hair. For one, right now I like didn't like shower this morning, so it's like natural oils. Like
right.
So those are important to it. When I shampoo, it won't look like this anymore.
Absolutely, identify with that.
For two, it won't stay this length. Like it'll grow. My hair always reaches one point where it looks just right, but I just like can't freeze it in time.
There's a critical.
Yeah. So
window.
That's something I struggle with. But I think that like also like because there's no kind of design behind my hair. Like sometimes it does like look how I want it to look, but I can't control when or where. So even as recently as like 3 hours ago, it looked shitty, and now it looks like good, but I can't.
Well, that's the crux. Or I'm sorry, that's not the right word. That's the double edged sword of having short hair, is that it's hard to style and tame. But right.
We all know that Pat Regan's minority is white gay with hair you can't tame.
Mm-hmm.
That's sure. That's Pat Regan's minority. His specific.
That's my diversity.
Your and identity politics.
Also, as per my face, I think that I never have wanted facial hair, but I'm used to being someone who doesn't have to shave every day or even every other day.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And now in my late 20s, mortifyingly, I have to I have to shave like every other day, and well, it's like I forget.
It's
I forget
so
everyone.
Hard.
So
what
it's
are,
so hard.
What
and
are
I,
we
and
looking
I mess spots, and I have and it's like
oh sure sure sure
it's, it grows in
I
weird.
We all, mess, we all have yeah. patchy,
but areas. Sometimes it grows in fine. It's like oh you have a little scruff and it looks good, but again I can't control
so
it.
So listeners at home. Pat has a little bit of scruff. I think it looks
this
quite
is my
good.
I think it looks really good. But I think we need to take a photo of Pat right now and post it. And also he should use it for his Tinder.
But Pat...
Oh, I'm not on Tend.
Okay.
You're not on Tend?
I don't do Tend.
I have a quick question before we get to Tend. Mm. Pat, what are we looking at right now? Like no shaving for the
right
day?
Right now, I don't even remember when I shaved last. Probably Sunday.
Okay, so it's been 4 or 5 days. This
yeah.
looks good. This is a good look.
Yeah, yeah. And then, for hair, I just thought yesterday, wow, I don't remember when I got my haircut last, which means mm-hmm. normally when I have that remember, it means that I'm thinking about it. And mm-hmm. usually when I'm thinking about it, it means, it's probably time. Because, what annoys me, and this will be fascinating for the listeners at home who cannot see this, yeah. is, the sides here get too bushy.
The burns.
Oh,
the
yes.
The burns.
That is
looks
a frustrating thing
gross
that
to me. And I feel like it makes my ears look gross. And all of a sudden, I don't feel sexy.
Oh, no.
Well, no, that can't happen. No. We all have to do things to make ourselves feel good and sexy because mm-hmm. we all deserve that. Ladies at home, I wanted to repeat you to repeat this mantra at home. I deserve to feel sexy. Come on, girls.
I deserve to feel sexy.
Thank you. This is also a self-help podcast.
Wait, do you guys still do the thing where you find rules of culture?
We do. We
yes,
pepper in some rules
we
every
pepper
now
it
and
in
then.
Something. What are you saying? You're not a listener?
No, I actually haven't. I'm so bad with podcasts in general. But if I did listen to a podcast, this would be a podcast I listened to.
You and think so?
A high compliment.
We're at the top of your hypothetical
one
list.
Quote, one, here's a quote from Dan Glaser once said. Mm-hmm. That's similar to that.
God bless.
Dan Glaser once said this quote. People don't understand that when I say I almost made it through the first episode of your web series, that's a compliment.
Of course.
Oh, it's a huge compliment.
Yeah. The fact that you clicked on a web series that I made is huge.
The fact that people listen to this is huge.
Right. No,
it's so self-indulgent. Because us doing this is so self-indulgent.
What?
It's... I mean, to a degree.
No, it's
I'm
also
kidding.
Like...
I'm kidding. It is. It fully is.
I am not a podcast person.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure how much people are listening to other people's podcasts, but I feel like it's rare to listen to people's podcasts, except for this podcast I feel like does get listened to.
I wouldn't know what podcast to recommend to you, Pat. I wouldn't know
no,
what...
One time my cousin's girlfriend's mom took my phone and downloaded a bunch of podcasts and talked to me about podcasts for a family party, and I left that family party thinking I was going to listen to podcasts, but I just didn't. People tell me to listen to Bitch Sesh because I like The Housewives, but...
You know what's a podcast that I feel like a lot of gays listen to is, I would say What's the Tea. We all know What's the Tea.
Throwing
we mentioned
shade.
That a lot, but Throwing Shade.
Yeah.
And now it's going to be a television show. Mm-hmm. It's a bitchy gay podcast about celebrity
it?
And pop culture. Brian Safi, and I don't know the woman's name.
There's a woman who's very funny.
Yeah, I forget her name.
Whenever I listen to something like that where it's a bitchy gay, I'm always like, I always get it should be me, and then I can't enjoy it.
Oh,
and
sure,
that is the tragedy of the gay community is we just can't support each
can't
other.
Can't support each other.
Oh, yeah, it's true.
Can't support each other. We're not happy for anyone that deserves it.
That's true.
Sam Smith, he should be lifted up.
Absolutely. First Oscar, first gay Oscar winner.
First gay Oscar famously. Winner of all time. And Pat had a famous line about that.
I have famous.
What was your line?
I say that, and I use this even to this day in my stand-up as a dated pop culture reference. That I see that people always get mad at Sam Smith for saying he was the first gay man to an Oscar, but he didn't mean that literally. That's just something you get to say if you're gay.
Oh, like, I love this joke.
If I ever win an Oscar, like, I'm going to say that. And, like, should I ever go to space? I don't care who's been to space. I'm the first gay man in space.
Yes, yes. Absolutely.
Remember when Lance Bass was truly going to be in space?
Oh, right.
What and a gay thing to do.
You know,
I didn't so much care about that. It's so gay.
I cared more that Lady Gaga was supposed to be the first performer who was going to have a concert in space.
Wait,
in 2015.
What happened to that?
That's
right?
What feels
what
like
happened
she
to
was
that?
Supposed to be on the Virgin like space cruiser.
In terms of what happened to that, I think it's quite obvious that is logistically unfeasible.
That's actually really real.
I was so looking forward to that.
And she's now in a group. I guess she wants to be more grounded.
You know, I used to hate Lady Gaga back in her initial. I feel like this is her kind of second life in a way in like entertainment. Is that true? Would you agree?
I would say that she, like a phoenix from the ashes, has risen.
Thank you. And that's what I meant by that. And I used to, in her first iteration, like, she annoyed me. But I think I might have been straight even then. So, like, now, like, things I liked when I was straight, it all flip-flops. Like, did you know that when it was Rosie versus Donald, I was on Donald's side?
Oh, my God.
I was 19.
I mean, so why? My mom used to call Rosie O'Donnell, quote, too opinionated. And so, like,
I know. That's how I felt.
That's Long Island.
And Rosie versus Elizabeth. I was on Elizabeth's side. But
that's just inexcusable.
But Elizabeth, I liked her from Survivor.
I know, when she was Elizabeth Filarski. Mm-hmm. Look, we can talk about this all the doodah. Maybe we will.
Right. I will say that, like, I don't begrudge you of a Donald fandom, because I loved Donald Trump
thought,
doing the
impression. Yeah, I was just 19 and dumb. I thought, like, Rosie was, like, obnoxious, and that's, like, what I subscribed to. Mm-hmm. And also, what was I going to say? Oh, and that's, I think, why I didn't like Lady Gaga, too. Is like, I remember there was always, like, a news story where she would, like, be at a Mets game and she'd, like, rip her shirt off for no reason, and I would be like, enough is enough. Or, like, she would take someone's seat. Didn't she take Seinfeld's seat once?
I think, like,
in his Yankees box.
I think, yeah, yeah, yeah.
She
yeah.
did that once.
And then
yeah.
she ripped her shirt off. Am I adding that part?
Nugget. Yeah.
I don't know. But
Herself into a plane.
She turned herself into a plane.
She had like a flying dress and was like, I'm so happy to be the first plane woman. And was like, it was during like Art Pop promo and like she flew around.
I want to be the first gay man to be a plane woman. But wait, what else was I going to say? Oh, also, I wanted to use this too, like our conversation from a couple of conversations
ago. He wants
ago.
To use this
as a platform.
I knew you had an agenda.
Okay, what are you using?
No, to talk about, because you were talking about Lance Bass, and I want to talk about Gay Batch. Has anyone watching Gay Batch?
I caught an episode the other night, and I think it's truly bad.
It's so bad.
Can I tell you what episode I saw?
I just want to clarify to listeners, by Gay Batch, I mean Finding Prince Charming,
Finding Prince Char. Now, Gay Batch is definitely, I wish, is what it was called. Gay Batch.
It should be called Gay Batch. Honestly, that was such a home run. They fucked it up. Like, I hate when people take ideas and fuck them up. Like, that was on, like, the gambit. Yeah. But also, I think this, watching it, like, when I was watching it, I'm like, maybe marriage is for everyone, but Bachelor is just for straights. You know what I mean? Like, maybe God made that, like, just for straight people. Yeah, because it does feel like it's just not right. Like, something about it, like, doesn't quite...
The logistical question that I've had since the beginning is, like, what's stopping all the gay guys that are the contestants from fucking each other to date each other? Like, you legitimately can't. What are you going to do? Go in there and, like Sandra Bullock and Ben Affleck, like, be a forces of nature, like, and handle them in a certain way? Like, I don't understand.
For one, Gay Batch is much hotter than all the suitors, except for, like, a couple.
I can see looking at it and being like, yeah, he's hotter in that I think about a hotness in an objective way. Like, I guess he is like a hotter person in that you would see him on the cover of a magazine before any of the other ones. But, like, I'm definitely more attracted to a lot of those other guys.
Well, I think that almost none of them are, like, in terms of, like, having a hot personality, none of them, Gay Bachelor himself has almost certainly just come from a lobotomy in, like, every episode. And for two, like, he's objectively hot. By the way, I know someone who did get a head from him.
Great.
In the community.
In the community.
Oh, my God.
And that's all I'll say.
Can
you mouth? Can you mouth? What? I don't...
I literally...
I'm mouthing.
It looks like he's saying... It looks like he's saying...
We don't say what it looks like I'm saying, because maybe someone will be able to get it. Oh,
yeah. All right. Well, it looks like he's saying something wild.
But, Pat, so
was it good head?
I don't know. I actually didn't talk to the person. I found out through a second
party. Pat, let's just... it sounded like you're going to use this the pod to do something.
Oh, no, just to achieve something.
Oh, you just want to bring it up?
Oh, yeah. Was there a treatise on Gay Batch that you wanted to...
For one, I think it's really bad. Like, Gay Batch is really bad. Yeah, for two, it's like... Yeah, it's like all their dates are like to a yard to do outside yoga. Uh-huh. And for two, like, like this is a moment from Gay Batch. For one, all the people are like not as hot objectively as you were saying, like as Gay Batch, but also like personality wise, no one's hot. And like,
it's a bunch of shitty people.
Right. It's a bunch of shitty people. There's one kind of funny one on it. And he is like not even that funny, but he's the only – you have to like try to find a not funny gay person. And like all of these people are so not funny except for one who's like kind of funny, but he thinks he's like too funny. And like
– Is he the femme
yes,
one?
Yes, the little femme one.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And
there was the last episode I watched, the only episode I've watched, is when it's the final four.
Oh, I haven't seen yet.
And the sister.
Oh, I haven't seen
come
yet.
In, and the sister is being such like a knowing like reality TV bitch.
Oh, I have.
She's like, so basically, are you here for friendship or for romanticism? Yeah. Because I look at you and I see friendship.
Wait.
And the one like little blonde gay is like, is that what you think to Robert? And he's like. And it's like a talking head of Robert being like, my sister is definitely someone who speaks her mind. And it's just like, Jesus Christ. It's just so recycled.
I love when someone comes into reality TV now, like, understanding the assignment. Like, I feel like that one, that blonde one, this is my favorite quote of him. Him and another one went on a 2-on-1 date with Gay Batch where the date was doing outside yoga. The yoga portion went well for this, for this blonde one, who the blonde one already had a good connection with Gay Batch from his previous date where they made a scent. They made a fragrance.
I heard about this perfume about date. That,
yeah, so they went and they kissed. And then, like, this date, they did outside yoga. And then they each had, like, a section of the date to have a conversation with Gay Batch. And the blonde one, his second part of the date was walking through a barn. So they walked through the barn, like, past
and
all
and he did. That didn't go well for him, walking
so they,
through the
so
barn.
So they were talking, and he was like, yeah, the conversation seemed really forced. And then they cut to the conversation, and Gay Batch was like, so what's your favorite color? And and the kid goes... well, I actually really love all the colors, but I do identify with blue.
Oh, no. I identify with blue.
It was really crazy.
That's so stupid. Because at that point, it's like, how did they fucking make the top four or five or whatever?
Right, he wanted to make... Because he is like kind of the only of all the contestants with a really good body.
You know what? I think that probably went a
and
long
I think
way.
That if you see Gabe Batch has a really good body, he probably wants that. That's probably why he went on the show. I don't know. It's just like...
I have to say, I truly... don't think that the Gay Batch is good looking.
I think if you want to look at him as like a specimen, as like a piece of meat, like he's like hot. I think once you add his personality, it's like awful. But I think as a physical body, he's attractive.
I have a theory that Gay Batch was deliberately designed at every stage to be like the antithetical. opposite of Drag Race, because like here with Drag Race you have like these entertainers, these people who like must rely and peddle in personality, and like the whole show is about like self-love and self-acceptance and like all this stuff, and you're working towards professional success. But meanwhile, Gay Batch is like completely shallow, like so stupid, so frivolous, completely devoid of any personality.
Right.
I think that's just the other side of the reality show coin that Logo wanted to check off.
Yeah, I could see that. But also, like, then they should have gotten, like, hot, like, physically hotter people. Like, some of them, it's just like,
there's no way.
If you look at Straight Batch, like, everyone there is, like, has a porn caliber body and at least, like, can they're like
porn caliber.
They're like, they have terrible conversations, but in a way that for some reason is at least compelling to like eavesdrop on. These I identify the most with blue is like what you're trying to listen in on, and like and they're not even that like.
But all the buzzwords were there for me in the show, which was what I was checking my boxes. I had to hear the words going into tonight. And I had to hear the words, I'm definitely falling for Robert. And I heard both those things, so I'm like, what are you going to say? Like, it absolutely delivered on being what it said it was going to be.
Sure.
Because it's stupid as fuck, and they said those things.
I wanted, like, more.
That's fair.
And I didn't want it to be good, but I wanted more.
Well, what do we feel about Lance Bass on the show? My favorite thing is when Lance Bass comes in the house and he's like, fellas! And then they go, Lance is here. We know something's going to happen when Lance is here. I just loved it. It's the most excited any people have been that Lance came into a room for a long time.
I don't know. Like, he's fine. He's whatever. Like, Lance is someone who is like friends with a lot of people I respect, but he...
Like who? Jamie Lynn Sigler?
Sure. Lisa Vanderpump. They're close friends.
Do you respect Lisa Vanderpump?
100%. As a businesswoman, as a reality star, and as a restaurateur, I respect Lisa Vanderpump.
As a restaurateur.
So you
but
take
it's like
issue
him,
with,
I don't see it.
Right. Like, it's like he's not necessarily interesting by association.
Yeah, I'm like, why are you friends with him? I don't get it.
Totally.
But maybe it's not that. Maybe he's more interesting. But I've seen him on, like, Watch What Happens Live, and he's still boring. I don't know.
Of course he is.
For me, it's just, like, don't be boring. You know what I mean?
Don't be boring. So that's the, that's just, like, the death knell or whatever. Like, that's just, like, the...
They were all
the worst
boring
thing to be
except
as a
Justin
gay person.
Timberlake.
As a, and I'm as sure. like a reality person. Like, do you watch Regular Batch, either of you?
No.
I literally can't bring myself to
do that. You know what is a good gateway to Regular Batch?
What?
Is Batch and Pear. Yeah. Batch and Paradise is literally so good. And it's so, but Batch
What's
and,
the difference?
Have they only had one season
there
of Batch and Pear?
There have been three seasons
three.
Of Batch
What
and
is
Paradise.
Batch and Paradise?
So Batch and Paradise is during the summer. It's a resort in Mexico where just like singles from the Bachelor world, Bachelor universe, just come and live and kind of hook up.
Oh, so
and
it's like an all-star season.
It's an all-star season, but and then like at the end of every week, there's a rose ceremony and people have to leave if they have no one who's like interested
trying
in them.
To fuck them.
And by the end, like during the end of last summer, there was three engagements.
That's huge.
Yeah.
Three engagements.
Pat is holding up three fingers to drive the point home.
Three engagements.
And well, so there's this one girl who's been on, I think Bachelor only once, but she's been on, also because some people have been on Bachelor itself like a couple of times.
Sure, yeah.
And, but this one girl, Ashley I, has been on, has been on Bachelor
Ashley
only once.
I.
They Ashley call I. Her, and she always brings drama, so they call her Ashley I of the Storm. And,
No,
but everyone hates Ashley I because she gets so emotional, but she's, to me, very interesting. And I won't ever hate someone like Ashley I because I think all that Ashley I is guilty of is like feeling. You know?
Absolutely.
But she's always crying. She kind of looks like a Kardashian cousin. And she just like, she's a virgin, 24-year-old virgin, mm-hmm. which is beautiful. And she like, she was going to lose it to this guy she met like 4 days, Wells, because he was kind of like a bachelor. If you were in the Bachelor universe, he would be a good get to lose your virginity to.
Okay.
But,
can I ask you a question? When you mouthed the name of the person that got head from Robert Sepulveda Jr.
Yes.
before,
mm-hmm.
were you just saying their last name?
First, I just said their last name, and then when I was looked at as though I had
Do
nine
it
heads,
one more time.
Just last name?
Full
or last
name. No,
time?
Full name.
Okay.
No. I can't believe it.
God.
I literally, it's loud and clear. It's loud and clear, and I'm devastated.
I know.
Okay, so great Batch and Pear, great gateway, you're saying.
Yeah, oh yeah. So then, like, once you, so like.
My condolences to Robert Sepulveda.
That wasn't my. That was not my gateway, but that was, like, that's what got me even more into straight Batch.
Yeah. Great. Pat, so I just want to make sure that we touch on this because we do this with all our guests.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about this with you before.
Totally.
Culture that shaped you. When did you say that when would you say culture was for you?
This is funny. I think that my answer during last episode to this was...
Reality TV.
No, was... Lisa Kudrow was Romy and Michelle's High School Reunion.
Okay.
And
oh my God.
So we've already
and that's how we got into that Lisa Kudrow place. But you know what? I'll change my answer. The culture that really did shape me the most is Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Cool.
Okay, yes. I think I do remember this being an element of your answer.
Yeah, I think I said both
I
of them.
I wish I had an vocabulary for Buffy.
It's so good.
It's like one of those things like Gilmore Girls.
Oh.
Or like Veronica Mars that people
oh,
are, like,
I love.
Really
Veronica
into.
Mars.
But I just missed.
See, for me, I hate Gilm, but I love
Why Ron. Do you hate Gilm?
I just feel like Alexis Bledel does not make a single choice with any lines throughout the entirety of the series.
But Lauren.
No, I'm done with Lauren Graham. I'll pass on Lauren Graham.
Lauren Graham is the whole show.
I don't know. I just feel like she's likable, but it feels like she's working so hard to be likable that
me. It's a little bit too much quirky girl.
Yeah, a little
it
bit
was quirky
too
girl before quirky
she pulls
girl.
It off. At the end of the day, she is likable, but it feels like she probably goes home and like is asleep as soon as her head hits the pillow because she's like worked so hard to be likable.
But why do we vilify her for that?
I don't vilify her. I'm just like,
he has an opinion.
I can't.
It's a negative. Sure. Okay, you're exhausted.
Yeah, I'm frustrated. I'm exhausted. I'm exasperated. I have nothing left to give to Lauren Graham. But I do. And then Alexis Bledel, just the opposite. Like, give me something. Like, yeah. Jesus Christ.
She was good on Mad Men. Did you ever
Wait,
watch Mad Men?
Bledel was on Mad
Men. Alexis Bledel was. Well, I actually think that literally everyone on Mad Men was good because the writing is so good.
See, I watched Mad Men, but I didn't see the last maybe season or two seasons.
You must have missed like the last three because I think she was.
Or
on...
I could just not remember.
Honestly, maybe you don't remember. I remember being shocked when I saw her in the show just because she's in such.
I'm picturing you watching get Mad Men with like a gap. With your like mouth
yes.
like jaw on the floor.
I was just like, my jaw just dropped. I'm like, Alexis Bledel? Like later on in the show when Nev Campbell was on one episode.
Oh, I didn't watch that.
That would shock me.
Yeah, she played literally a woman on the plane.
I love Nev Campbell.
Yeah, she was fantastic.
Oh, and that's another piece of culture that did shake me is Scream, as I love Scream.
Really?
And
you weren't too young to watch it when it
I didn't watch it like maybe when it came out, but when I watched it young and like maybe when I was like seventh grade, I watched mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm. And I think that I was like in love with that movie because it was so funny and it was so scary
yeah,
and it was
it
about like teens in a way that I like always have loved.
I also like truly love the first scene
of Scream,
the sequence of
Drew
it. Barrymore. Like
Drew.
It's so good. It's so defining.
And I love the climactic scene. They're both so good. Like,
did you see Scream 4?
Yes, and I loved it.
You did like it?
I love Emma Roberts.
Wow. You love her.
Yeah.
Tell us
he
why.
Loves
Emma Roberts because she's a great bitch.
I don't know why she's a great bitch. Like, I love her in Scream Queens season one so much. I don't know. Now that Scream Queens is an anthology, like, I don't know that we need Scream Queens and American Horror Story.
Sure.
But I didn't end up watching all of Scream Queens, but I love the pilot of Scream Queens is so good. And it's also, like, joke a minute also. And so I love Emma Roberts in that. I love her in Scream 4.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've never seen her and, like, not loved her. I want to see, what's that movie she's in, like, recently that's, like, there's a game on your cell phones that teens are playing and you have to, like, jump off of a building for points.
Oh, I know what you're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, I want to see that, and it's, like, her in her underwear.
Did you watch American Horror Story?
No, I watched the first season. I loved it, but that's also because I love
Connie
Britton.
I mean, she's a
I
wonder.
Love her.
Can I tell you, brief tange. I just went to Universal Studios and I did the Halloween Horror Nights.
But it's unlike you.
Well, anyway, there's an American Horror Story themed haunted house, and I do not watch American Horror. Like, truly can't deal with anything.
Wait, you don't like horror?
No, don't like horror. Don't
oh,
like
wow.
to be frightened in any
Famously,
way.
Famously, Matt could not get through Stranger Things after the first.
Oh,
episode.
I've never.
Could,
seen
no,
that.
I didn't even try to watch the first episode. I'm too scared of even the thought of it. I watched Henry watch it, and it was too
well,
much for me.
That's, honestly, watching Henry watch it might be too scary for me.
There was times when he was gasping, and like I just didn't like to see that.
So for American Horror Story Haunted House,
they had such... They did the first season, they did the Freak Show season, and they did Hotel. So I'm kid you not, there was a Lady Gaga actress who was jumping out.
Oh, no.
And it was very titillating and horrifying.
Love it.
And my sister, we got out of the haunted house, and she was like, you guys need to go home and watch American Horror Story and know how well done that was. That was so well done. And like, I was like, absolutely not. But basically what I'm saying is that American Horror Story haunted house is a thing. And then, you know, what was depicted in it was those things in the black latex suits.
Oh, yeah.
They were very scary.
Wait, that was in the first
season. The first season.
Story. Yeah, that was hot.
It was hot.
I was straight for that, and there's a lot of like gay stuff in it.
I know, I but
like,
do you know
well,
who's, the hottest, who's the hottest person on that show? Bar none. Evan Peters.
In what season?
All seasons.
Oh, no, there's the guy in the first season is really hot.
Evan Peters, the blonde guy.
No.
What? Someone oh, else. Dylan McDermott. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he actually is like a hot daddy guy from my childhood.
Oh,
he
yeah.
He was on a show.
I never seen him before. I wasn't familiar with him.
I think he was on a show called Dirty Sexy Money on ABC when I was
oh,
little, and I
yes.
used to watch him and be like, oh, that's...
When you were little, it came out in 2008.
Yeah, I was so little in 2008. Not a lot of people know this about me, but I only got big in my 20s.
Anyways.
Connie, sorry, can I just say about Connie?
Sorry, yes, that I took us on that tangent.
No,
but
I think we need to go down it. I'm glad because I would have never even remembered about Dylan McDermott.
Connie Britton is the best part of American Crime Story, People vs. O.J. Simpson.
Wait, oh,
she played Faye Resnick.
Did you watch American Crime Story? You would love. You would have loved Selma Blair.
I love that. And I love that whole crowd because they're very like Real Housewives of Beverly Hills too. Is like,
oh, sure, yeah.
That's like all like, every once in a while in Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, there's like a new character that comes in and someone's like, oh, were you friends with that group? And then someone's like, no, I wasn't friends with that group. And they mean the group of people that were friends with Nicole Brown Simpson.
Yeah.
It's like very fun.
Was Faye, it's Faye Orange County?
Faye is Beverly Hills.
Beverly Hills.
But Faye is someone who like pops up in every reality. Like she's on like the Kardashians sometimes. Right, she's like right, always right around. She, when I say understands the assignment, that is actually a quote Danny Visconti once said about Faye Resnick.
She understands the assignment of
being on reality TV. My favorite Resnick moment was like once in this past season of Beverly Hills. Oh, what was it? Like, so there was a new person, Catherine, who's famously whose husband, Faye Resnick, alleged in her book that like Nicole Brown Simpson had an affair with before she got murdered.
Wow. This is
like
drama.
So then, so this man, I think, is now in the picture, but his wife is now friends, and his wife, it was now like on the cast, and she joined mid-season, and she said like, she said this, she said, I don't carry a dagger for anyone, but I carry a dagger for Faye Resnick.
And, oh my God.
And then she like, they were at a dinner party, and like, which is like, Faye's always lurking around the dinner parties of that show. And she was like, so she's sitting across from Faye, and she's like, starts trying to pick a fight. And like, she's like, just like saying mean things to Faye, and like, she's getting all worked up. And then Faye like says something back, I forget what, but then she like interrupts herself and goes, oh, and you look beautiful tonight, by the way. It's just like such a good move.
Love oh my it. God, that is. You should watch American Crime Story though,
because oh, I would feel love like it, I'm sure.
Pat's favorite scenes would be all like the ridiculous scenes where the Kardashians pop up.
Right.
Like, sure. Dad, come on, let's not wait in line at the restaurant. And then like they had this truly stupid scene, an otherwise amazing, brilliant show, where the first scene of like episode 3 or 4 is like Robert Kardashian is like taking the girls and Rob out to brunch. And he's like, I'm sorry, how long is the wait going to be to the hostess? And she's like, oh my God, you're that guy from television. And the Kardashians look at him and he's like, yeah. She's like, I mean, it's an hour wait, but I can get you a table. And they basically bring the Kardashians over to their own table, and all the Kardashians are like, cool, amazing, Dad, they love you. And he says to them, David Schwimmer, call back to Friends, before, conversation
right,
before,
right, right.
says to them, now, everyone, I want to tell you something. You should be treated well because you're a good person, not because you're famous.
So heavy.
No.
And it's so fucking heavy-handed. But
so
I
they're
also
saying,
like,
this is how the Kardashians were made.
That is
like,
how they were made.
In that one moment at that one restaurant.
So the thesis of American Crime Story is, wow, what a shame that he got away. Also, this is how the Kardashians
so
were made.
Call back to last episode where one of the rules of culture was have to mention. Where when you have to mention something, you always have
to mention.
Yeah,
have to mention.
I have to mention that, for one, David Schwimmer, like, I can't stand him, but I am, like, so attracted to him in spite
Absolutely.
Of myself. Especially in that piece of content of, that piece of art that is the, American Crime Story, because I've seen like bits and pieces of it.
You think he's more attractive in that than he is on like Friends?
I guess. I don't know. I saw it and I was like, oh, he's like really attractive in this. Or maybe I just didn't remember how attracted I was to him in that in Friends. And
he
secondly,
is like beguilingly attractive.
Yeah, what is it? But
I
you
don't
hate
know what it is.
You he's it. A, oh you don't? Yeah. It's like I wish I didn't.
Right.
Because once you see it, you can't unsee it.
Mm.
So who is your favorite male friend?
Sexually Schwimm.
Really? LeBlanc all the way.
No, not for me.
Oh, LeBlanc was like an early
Schwimmer's
like,
the only one that yeah, I guess like for me like LeBlanc sorts. Is too like heavy handed. But I mean Schwimmer gets like that too. I think that like I don't know.
I think LeBlanc got actually way hotter as he's gotten older. I think he's
pepper.
More attractive now on like episodes and shit.
I like him when he's like way young, like in the very early Friends.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't like him when he gets like, I don't like him for late Friends. And then Chandler, like maybe personality.
I wish I could say I got the Matthew Perry thing. I don't really get
Does
it.
Does anyone get it though?
I think people get it. I mean, I think a lot of people get it. I think a lot of people are, like, attracted to his personality, which is, like, a very female thing to say.
Did you know that Matt LeBlanc? Matt, Matthew.
It is. Oh, I love his personality.
Did you know that Matthew Perry went to rehab 3 times over the course of Friends?
Oh, yeah. Why? Oh, my God.
I think for drugs, Bo. Oh.
And cocaine and alcohol, I think.
For his patellar tendonitis.
For his personality.
I recently read like 145 facts you never knew about Friends, and for some reason that was shocking to me. But wait,
oh my God.
And wait, do you love Jennifer Aniston?
I love.
Yeah,
Jennifer.
Same. I love her too.
Do you? And love I Courtney really Cox? Don't respect people that don't like her.
Neither do I. My mom doesn't like her.
But is it because why? I'd love to.
She kind of only doesn't like her like in like relative to Courtney Cox. And
is she voting for Trump?
No,
that's good.
I don't get Courtney.
I feel my mom not loves liking Jennifer Aniston is a very Trump voter.
I think my mom loves Courtney Cox, and she feels like Courtney Cox gets overshadowed.
I understand.
But also, like, she probably doesn't care anymore. This was years ago. But one time she said, I love Courtney Cox, and I've known Courtney Cox since Family Ties.
Did you know that Courtney Cox was, like, the biggest star when they started the show?
Yeah, Family Ties.
Like, in Leah Remini's book, which is just an incendiary read.
Wait, who's?
Leah Remini. Who is? You know, of the King of Queens, the wife of King of Queens, Scientologist.
I hate her.
Former Scientologist. You don't like her?
I hate her, and I hate Kevin James.
Definitely gotta say, Kevin James, no thanks. But Leah Remini, I say... thanks.
No, she was mean to my dad once.
She was?
Tell us.
That's such a Long Island story. Tell the whole thing.
He used to work in ad sales for like Viacom, and before that for UPN, I think when like her show, or when, I don't know what the...
King of Queens was like syndicated on UPN, I remember.
But I don't know like what the deal was with that, but like I just know that he had to like be in her proximity at some point and she was mean.
Oh, that's
so
unfortunate.
I know.
Ugh,
but
I hate when celebrities are not nice.
Tell me your heroes.
But wait, what about her book?
She wrote a book. It was called, like, The Escape from Scientology. It's definitely not called that, but let's say it is. And basically, in it, oh my God, what was I just talking about?
We're talking about, like, Aniston and Courtney.
Oh. She says that she was up for the role of Monica, and then she saw Courtney Cox walk in, and she was like, we knew it was over.
Well, Courtney Cox is on Family Ties, but also Jennifer Aniston, her parents are famous, aren't they? Or her dad is famous.
Yes, and also here's some tea on Jennifer Aniston. Did you know that she was offered to be a cast member on Saturday Night Live, and she chose to be on Friends instead?
I made $1 trillion.
Yeah, truly.
Yeah, for sure.
What would that have been like if we knew Jennifer Aniston as a cast member of Saturday Night Live?
Things could have turned out a lot more differently.
I feel like it would cut away now. We would see a different...
Like, yeah, like, sliding like, doors. We could go to that world and like two of us wouldn't be here. I enjoy Jennifer Aniston very much. And people that are always like, well, she has no range. I'm like, that she doesn't need to have range. Also, I don't have any range.
Yeah, I think that she's let herself...
Fuck you.
I think she's let herself get too like bogged down in like tabloid culture. Like, look at Lisa Kudrow. Like, Friends ended and Lisa Kudrow, like, she like made web therapy just cause, and she like made the comeback just cause, and she like Lisa Kudrow is like a comedian, and Jennifer Aniston is a comedic actress who's pretty, I think.
Oh, interesting.
That is a big difference. Being a comedic actress and being a comedian. That totally is so real.
But maybe Lisa and Jennifer's experiences at Friends sort of shaped their trajectories a little bit, because Lisa was always seen as the comedic crutch of the show, and Jennifer,
right.
And meanwhile, Rachel as a character was like the ingenue.
That's true.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Bowen has pulled up a Pat Regan status on his phone,
oh,
and I'm wondering what selection you're going to hear
think
about
this
to read.
Is, I have to say, Pat... Matt,
one of the funniest people on Facebook ever.
Oh my God,
Matt,
stop it.
He's given out this accolade recently.
I have. I texted you and I texted Henry about it. I'm like, literally, Pat is killing me on Facebook. And Henry goes, been my number one for a while.
And Henry does have rankings that he explicitly...
Henry,
yes.
He's very... You know, you don't think he's watching you all, but he's watching you all, and he's got a list.
Absolutely. And look, I have to co-sign because... Pat, I think this is some of your best work. I think this is one of your most iconic posts.
I'm going to pull up my favorite Pat Regan.
Okay. Let me ask you this. Does it reflect in the numbers? Because sometimes it doesn't.
It doesn't reflect
don't
in the numbers, which I think is just a true travesty. But I'm going to read this one first. Cool?
Go.
This was, okay, I'm sorry, just to contextualize this, this was
oh
after...
Oh my god, wait, this is my favorite too. Okay, yeah, read it.
This was after the third debate, oh, and yeah, Pat had this whole run about Tiffany Trump's number, like what she wore.
Her number!
And so this is...
Her ensemble, we
her
should
ensemble.
Say.
This is what Pat posted, like, sort of as, like, not a button to the whole series, but, like, as like, a piece of
yes,
the
it's so good.
It would be a fun piece for, like, a morning talk show to have Yvonne...
I can't read this!
Okay, let me start over. Let's try. I can get through this. It would be a fun piece for, like, a morning talk show to have Ivanka and Tiffany come on and give Chelsea Clinton, a makeover and, like, go through her closet and throw out all her bad clothes and teach her how to have a star quality. And at the end, they walk her down a runway in the studio. And she is so confident with her new look. And the host says, Chelsea, you look absolutely stunning right now.
Let me read it, because you're butchering.
But the important question is, how do you feel? And she's, like, gushing. I feel amazing. So confident. I know with this look, I'll definitely have the tools to succeed. I'm really glad I listened to Tiffany and Ivanka. And then they bring out her friends and fans to react. Says to the new Chelsea, and it's just Hillary looking nonplussed, like, I've worked so hard for women, though.
I mean, tears down my eyes.
It's so funny.
Oh, thank you for reading my piece.
Of course. Why are you going to write a book?
What?
When will you write a humor book?
You're such a storyteller.
Oh, I know.
Get on the mic, you idiot. You gotta talk into the mic. This is seriously insane.
I don't know that.
Also, don't withdraw when people praise you. Yes. Sit up. Accept.
So sorry. I'm so sorry. I accept the praise. I accept the praise. Oh, I accept the book deal.
Brought you here.
No, thank you. I am so intrigued by Tiffany Trump.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Something about her, like, she did not exist. Like, okay, so in season...
No, she didn't.
In season... 5 Buffy, or in the season 4 finale, like Buffy'd been an only child, like, throughout the series, and then in the finale, Willow's her friend, but in the finale, her mom was like, Buffy, like, go, like, watch your little sister, and then, like, Michelle Trachtenberg comes in as Dawn, her little sister, who's in it for the rest of the series, and we've just never seen her. Then it turned out that she's, like, a key that, like some, like, forces, like, implanted memories in the entire in like everyone's minds to, like, so that Buffy would protect her, like, extra special because she's, like, a key to, like, hell or something.
I love,
but that's what, like, it feels like with Tiffany Trump. It's sure. Like, she's never, like, literally there have been, like, interviews where they're like, this is your only child, right? Or, like, I didn't even think that the brothers were real, like, before election. Like, it was just Ivanka. And it's like, okay, fine, like, the brothers are real. And then now it's like, Tiffany Trump, like, where'd you come from? Look, but I'm obsessed with her.
It's like, you know what? I get that fascination because, Matt, this will be a reference that you and I get. It's very much Lexi Gray, season 300%.
Yeah, I mean, right. Pat knows too. Pat was a huge Grey's Anatomy fan. But you don't still watch.
I'm not this current season, but I've watched, like, when this season goes up on net, I will watch.
Wow.
Oh my god.
I will say about Lexi Gray, Shauna did plant the seed for Lexi in season 2.
And
they mention her.
Yes.
Right, yes. No, I recently went back and rewatched and they do mention her.
She's like, she's a med student at Harvard.
Yeah, like when Meredith's, like, mother or whoever is in Thatcher's wife is in. She was like, how's Lexi? And she's like, oh, she's in Harvard. I remember I saw that.
Yeah. Brilliant show.
And that's what I like. That's what I like about those shows that, like, you could tell there's planning. Because then it's, like, legitimate storytelling and not just, like, making it up as you go. Like,
Where is Kyler Lee?
Who? I know. Is that who played
Lexi?
Where
is she at? Yeah.
Is that who played Lexi?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I know. And you know who else where is? The woman who played Teddy. I love her.
Kim Raver.
Our
favorite. Fantastic. Wait, no. Bowen and I, for years, have been... raving Kim for Raver. Kim Raver.
Did you watch her on 24?
Yes, yeah, Audrey.
Did you watch her on Lipstick Jungle?
I wanted to, but literally couldn't fathom watching.
No, she was in Kashmir Mafia.
Right.
Yes,
same,
that
thing.
One.
I was like, I'm gonna guess.
One more that's like the Kim Raver trifecta that I'm not getting right now.
24, Kashmir Mafia.
She was in some Second City TV short.
Oh, was SCTV, she?
Yeah,
I've never
with
seen
Tina Fey and like Amy Poehler and Rachel Dratch. Like, way back.
Oh my god, we need Kim
Raver.
Raver
is like the real deal.
I also love her.
Do you know Kim Raver? To me, reminds me of a time when like Kim River was like the actress that you were always pleased to see on television, and that for me also at that time was Sarah Paulson. And Sarah Paulson.
Wait, who is that?
Sarah Paulson.
Oh my God, American Horror Story.
But American Horror Story, and she also plays Marcia Clark on American Crime Story. Big television actress.
What does she look like?
She was in Carol.
Blonde.
I've never seen Carol.
Truly.
Who was she in American Horror?
She's someone different every season.
But who was she in? I've only seen first. Okay, I knew that show. I've already established I've only seen first season. So
right,
who is she in?
She plays
seas?
Like a real estate agent on the first
season. Oh, I love her, but I don't remember what she looks like.
Okay, well, you'll
I'll Google it.
She plays Lana Winters on the second season, which thank you, Ryan Murphy, for that gay-ass
man. Wait, what was I going to say?
I was just going to say that Sarah Paulson, of course, has now blown up, and I wish that Kim Raver would blow up in the same
fashion. But she, like, did, like, blow... There's some people that just blow up on TV, and I'll give three examples. Two of them we've already discussed, so it's easy. One of them is Kim Raver, uh-huh. whatever.
Please say who I want you to say.
Okay, I don't know if I will. The second is Lexi Gray's character, Lexi Gray's actress, the person...
Tyler Lee. Also in Not Another Teen Movie.
Right before she got on... Grays. There was like I'm remembering an Entertainment Weekly article that was like, these are people who like the industry wants to be successful, but like, they can't be. And she was on list. Right before she was on Grey's Anatomy, a bit before, she was on a show that I watched with my dad that was like about a group of friends. I think it was called Reunion.
Yes,
Reunion.
I remember
it was
that.
So good.
Yes,
remember?
And she was on that show.
And they canceled before you solved the mystery. I love those shows that are like a mystery. There's everyone, anyone watch Harper's Island or like no. Oh my God, it's like a murder mystery. Like those murder mystery shows I love.
I'm on edge of seat wanting to know what the third person
is. Oh, okay. The third person is, I think her name is Emily Van Campen.
Yeah, Emily Van Camp.
Yeah, Van Camp.
She was on Brothers and Sisters, and she was famously on Revenge. She's the lead of Revenge.
And she was also on she got her start on Everwood. Yes.
Oh. She's big time.
She's big time, but she's only on those, like, non-Shonda nighttime soaps. And when you've been on that many nighttime soaps and you've never worked with Shonda, there's a story there. You know what I mean? There's a story.
Maybe she might be diff to work.
Or Shonda doesn't like.
Diff.
She might be diff to work with.
No, I get the sense she's such a pro. Don't you?
Emily Van Camp. I think she's actually really, really good, and also so fun to see her play like a fun bitch.
I know,
like, because she had played all these like kind of like goody two shoes characters, and
your Revenge?
No, I only caught some episodes.
Revenge
but,
is so good.
All right, I will. I
so
will,
bad.
I will Netflix that one.
It's
then.
Really bad but good. You have
That'll
to watch
be the next one I make and watch.
It's really good to just Netflix and watch the entirety of it
because it's fun to watch something good. Like right now we're watching Veep, but also I want to watch something just bad.
Yeah, that's really good for that. Like it's bad in the right way where you're like every moment's like a tense like glare between like two socialites who have like secretly murdered each other.
Yeah. So you didn't nail what I wanted you to do.
Okay.
You didn't say who I wanted
okay,
you to
who
say.
Who did you want me to say?
I wanted you to say Elizabeth Mitchell, who played Juliet on Lost. And then they gave her the show V, which was about the aliens coming to...
Because
V starring... what's
Marina
her face?
Baccarin.
Marina Baccarin.
As the reptile.
I feel like her...
And Marina Baccarin has, like, for
now
some reason exploded.
Wait, I don't know who that is.
She's also... She played the, like, truly boring wife on Homeland.
Oh,
and now
yeah.
she's on some other show.
Oh,
I
yeah, I
don't
hate
know.
Her.
She's gorgeous, though.
Right. I think that... Oh, but with Kate? I mean, not with Juliet. Oh, Juliet. Spy. I was thinking of Kate.
No, Kate Evangeline.
Juliet is the blonde.
Juliet's the blonde who is truly amazing.
But her...
And America fell in love with Juliet.
But I felt like she was never really in anything else.
She was the star of... She was the star of, like, ABC's next big sci-fi show. Indeed. And it just didn't really work. Like, it just kind of, like, didn't end up being that great. But she's an amazing actress. And she was in Santa Claus 3 as Tim Allen's wife.
And that's something.
It's just kind of funny. Now, who doesn't even want to act anymore, and she's, like, only does blockbusters, is Evangeline.
Oh, really?
Evangeline is like, you know, I'm not interested in really acting anymore, but she will be in the occasional
Hobbit.
Huge fucking movie.
Yeah.
You know... I recently posted this, that, like, it's not fair that Blake Lively has a post-Gossip Girl career and Leighton Meester doesn't, because Leighton Meester
much better.
Didn't go into that show being who we were going to talk about. It was supposed to be a Blake Lively vehicle, but Leighton Meester just did amazing work throughout the entirety of it.
Yeah.
But then someone posted that she's about to be in a sitcom with Adam Pally. So.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I think she's worked... I think she's worse.
I just haven't seen her. Like, Blake Lively's in them. But I guess because Blake Lively's like friends with Taylor.
Can I tell you one thing that I think it works to Leighton Meester's detriment is she is interchangeable with another soap opera scene stealer, Rachel Bilson.
I was about to say Rachel Bilson.
But all the OC people besides Ben McKenzie aren't really working.
Right, no, I know.
Another tragedy.
Well, Rachel Bilson is in Magnum ice cream bar commercials, and she's also in chapstick commercials for kind of just a generic chapstick right now. She's
sure.
in commercials for chapstick.
But I want the actress who played Kirsten. I want the actress who played Marissa's mom.
Kirsten was amazing.
There were such
no,
good actresses
you know
on
who
show.
Is amazing is Joy Cooper.
Yeah.
Joy Cooper, yeah.
Melinda
Clark, baby.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Melinda Clark.
So good.
Yeah.
And can we talk about Nicolette?
Nicolette Sheridan?
Nicolette Sheridan! Let's exhume her!
Wait, did you
famously was slapped by Mark Cherry on the set of Desperate Housewives.
The title of this episode is Can We Talk About Nicolette?
Even though we never did.
Can we talk about Nicolette? The answer being no.
I was never a Desperate Housewives person.
Okay, but hold on. Before we move on from Nicolette, Matt, you and I have to talk about. We talk about this regularly, but her character Edie's death on Desperate Housewives.
It's so good. Epic.
Just her being chased out of her
house. She
dies four different ways. It's like a domestic dispute in her house.
She gets choked out.
She gets choked, and then and there's so many fake outs for her death. So she gets chased out of her home after she was strangled. And then she gets into her car. It's pouring rain outside. And then she gets into a car accident, but that's not it.
Yep.
She gets out of the car. She walks.
A wire has fallen.
A wire has fallen somehow. And then she walks into a puddle. She's sopping wet.
And then she accidentally somehow
gets her hand on the wire, on the exposed wire, and just dies.
I think literally what it was. The wire had fallen into the puddle, and she stepped in the puddle and got electrocuted in the puddle.
Death by puddle.
Wow.
Just what a crazy fucking.
And also, she tried to kill herself early in the series when she tried to hang herself because Carlos didn't want to be with her anymore.
What a stupid.
Truly,
I have these questions about Desperate Housewives.
Mm-hmm. We have answers.
Okay. Number one, whatever happened to Terry Hatcher? Number two, remember when that was gonna be like. Remember, I was gonna, Marcia Cross was back, and I was back from what? And then whatever happened to her? Number three, who is the best of all of them? Number four, absolutely.
Okay, hold on. Let's answer in order.
Okay, and last one is Nicolette on the same level as the rest of them?
Okay,
boy, you couldn't have asked better questions.
Answer, fantastic questions, Pat. First question. Matt has alluded to this in the past. I believe it was on Sudi's episode of Las Culturistas.
Whoa.
Terry Hatcher is one of those actresses. Guy who played Matthew Shepard. No, not Matthew Shepard.
Oh my god, the guy who played
Dr. Shepard on Lost.
Matthew Fox. Terry Hatcher will come back every 15 years.
And you're like, are they dead?
And we'll be like, were they dead? Where have you been? And then she'll have her moment where she wins a Golden Globe. It's like, wow, couldn't have been more of a has-been, and now I am back. And then she literally would disappear
again.
Right,
she lives for vindication.
So the answer to the question is, we don't know what's happened to her. We don't know where she is.
Second question was Marcia Cross.
Yeah, well, it's kind of same question with her.
I think Marcia Cross, wasn't she a teen heartthrob?
She was on
Melrose Place.
Oh, she was on Melrose Place.
She played a villain on Melrose Place, and there was a water cooler episode where she took off her wig and revealed a huge head scar.
But I truly
don't really understand what was the big deal about that.
I think she was an alien.
I don't know if she was an alien, but I think she... Or I too.
I don't know. It'll be funny if she's not an alien. But I think Desperate Housewives was the same for her too, right? Where it was her big comeback.
She was truly amazing.
And she was fantastic.
She was.
They all were amazing, and then it was kind of strange when they were all up for Emmys except Eva the first year.
And everyone was like,
we know that Terry Hatcher will win the Emmy for her portrayal of Susan because she's really the star of the show and also the narrative of Terry Hatcher coming back. But then they gave it to Felicity Huffman, and it was wild.
This was the Emmys. Okay, but the Golden Globes, remember this?
No, Golden Globes, Terry Hatcher won.
No. Remember this? Golden Globes was this. It was Terry. It was Terry, Marcia, Felicity.
I forgot about Felicity.
I think even Eva was nominated for the... But then guess who won? Fucking weeds lady.
Oh, I hate her.
This might have been another year, because the first year they were all nominated, Terry Hatcher didn't win.
Oh, in the second season.
And then the second season, they were all nominated and all lost.
All lost to...
to Mary Louise
Mary
Parker.
Louise Parker, thank
but,
you.
I don't like Mary Louise
but
Parker.
But for the Emmys, it was true shock when Felicity Huffman walked away with the Emmy.
Right, because they thought Terry was going to win.
Now, this bleeds into your next question, which was...
oh, is Nicolette Chariot on the same level as the rest of them?
The well, that... Your question was, who's the best?
Oh, right.
That was four. That was question four.
That was question four, Nicolette. And the answer to who's the best is actually, scientifically and statistically, Eva is the best.
Wait,
Eva.
Why?
Because she was
She's
comedic.
The best.
She was the best comedic actress. She was also very good at the dramatic stuff. Was very, just a very strong
Wait, see, right. actress.
Eva is the best. She was the hottest. She was the funniest. She was the best with the one-liner. And she is my number one comedic influence.
I think that number...
I'm not kidding.
Really?
She was very good.
Whatever happened
the way
to
I
her?
Deliver my one-liners
is she so around?
Eva would. She was on a show... it was like they were trying to like do like a send up of telenovelas. Remember this last year? I think
right.
it was called Telenovela.
Oh,
it was
yeah.
called Telenovela. And then executive produces some stuff.
And stumps for Hillary a lot.
And stumps for Hillary.
Thank God. And posts on Soch.
Posts on Soch. And your answer to the question, is Nicolette Sheridan as big a deal as the rest of them? Well, this led to a lawsuit, honey. This led to a true lawsuit.
On the show, I mean.
They started to act like, yes, she was. But really,
right,
the fun
like
of
that.
Edie Britt was always that she would pop in and be like, Susan, and say something like truly bitchy
right.
and like wash her car in her lingerie and like be like, oh, I just figured I'd wash my car and be like really, truly like, sorry, everyone out there, but this is true. She was like the slut.
She was the evil slut.
Right.
She
was the bitch goddess.
Right.
Which is what you need on a show.
So good.
I feel like they started that series. It was going to be like the next Sex in the City, and it just fizzled so hard.
Oh, yeah.
But whatever. I think that I forgot about Felicity Huffman, and I think I like her the best.
I will say... she was definitely the best at being tired.
Desperate Housewives did have a good run at being like this, the night soap that had like season-long arcs that were solid. Like,
it was such a good show in the first season.
Yeah,
I recommend everyone watch the first season. It just got so bad after that.
I love those shows that are such... there's some shows that's like, if you stopped writing this after the first season, it would be perfect.
Glee.
To an extent. But like, I think two shows to me are, if this show stopped at the end of the first season, it would be like, to me, truly perfect art.
Mm-hmm.
But like, that's the nature of television, is you have to just like, if it is successful, you have to just keep making it up then, and then it becomes worse. So it's like, one of them is... Friday Night Lights.
Mm-hmm.
That, if that stopped being written after its first season, would be truly perfect. And also Girls, also the same way.
I actually think the last season of Girls was the best.
Really
was
good
the best
season.
I think that, go back and watch the first season. I'm not taking away.
I think the first season's amazing, but I think this last season was really good.
I think it was good, but I think that the first season was unbelievable. I think that this last season was watchable and good, but I think that like it has had some unwatchable seasons in between.
There have been some clunkers,
but I think that like this season is good, but there are still like some moments that just don't feel real. There's no grounding to them, or it just feels made up. But like the first season really felt like very good, honest
specific
writing
and honest.
Yeah, like very specific.
You know, there's an episode of the first season that's called All Adventurous Women Do.
Yeah,
and it's one of the best episodes of television ever.
It ends with her dancing to
Dancing on My Own, and also that's the episode which has her fight with Andrew Rannells in the bar.
Oh yeah,
it
really
was nice
funny.
To see you. Your dad is gay.
Oh yeah,
so good.
Foreshadowing.
Yeah, spoiler alert.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm very happy that we talked about Desperate
Housewives.
Me too.
Even though I don't watch it, I'm glad too, because no one talks about it, and I hate when people act like something never happened, and I feel like all of America acts like Desperate Housewives never happened.
Well, I will say this, and I think I've said this to you definitely before, Matt. Desperate Housewives like ushered TV back into like narrative stuff, because for a while, like 2000 to 2004, it was like reality.
That's why they're called the Real Housewives, is because Desperate Housewives was a huge hit, and they were like, okay, let's do a reality show with people like this.
They wanted to combine the two hits of that moment, which were
the
Housewives
OC.
And the OC.
Yeah,
which brings me to the last thing I'll
was
say.
OC the first one?
OC was the first one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The last thing I'll say is that I truly love Laguna Beach.
Well, we didn't tell you this is over yet, so that's not
going
to be
the
last
thing
that you
say. But before I die, that's going to be the last thing I say.
I truly love Laguna Beach.
I truly love it.
drifted away. It was so crazy. He got up out of bed, he looked at us, and he said, "I truly love Laguna Beach.
I truly love Laguna Beach.
He went into the light.
Wow.
Don't you, my favorite scene of television, of movies, of art, of literature.
You share yours, and then we'll all share yours.
Okay. Mine is the scene from the first ever episode of Laguna Beach, where it's Morgan, Elsie, Lowe, and Christina sitting. I love that I named Morgan first. All sitting around a table on the deck, planning a party with notebooks, and they're like, "Okay, let's plan a party." And they all write notebooks, and someone's like, "Well, it should be like something cool." And someone's like, "I know, black and white." And it's right, a black and white affair, and they all like write it down in their notebook. It's so funny.
Moen, favorite scene of film television history.
And keep in mind, that one's mine, so you can't take it.
Yeah. I think we all were going to say
what
that.
What a horrid, horrid question.
Imagine them sitting around a desk.
I have mine. Should I go first?
Yeah, you go first.
My favorite scene in all of cinematic history is the last scene in the episode of The OC when Samara Armstrong's character, Anna, leaves to get on the plane. And she's leaving Seth Cohen, and he's begging her to stay. And she says, "Cohen, I have to go." And basically she leaves, and there's a beautiful song that plays while it's playing.
If You Leave.
If You Leave. And I remember crying, and I remember I started crying without knowing I was going to cry. I just started to cry, and my mom was like crying as well. And I was like, oh my God.
Because she realized you were gay.
We know we love The OC.
What happened when she said, "Confidence, Cohen"?
Wait, was that the end of the first season? Cohen.
That was first season.
It was first season.
What a good show.
What a good
Anna
show.
Was like a character that like really came on and just like was supposed to be like a recurring part, and then all of a sudden her arc was up, and I was just like, oh my God, this character cannot leave. Yeah. We already fallen in love with her, which is a line from Desperate Housewives when they come to get the when they come to get the baby from Gabrielle and Carlos, and Gabrielle goes, "We've already fallen in love with her." And then never forget when Gabby did this insane thing where she fixated on the toy.
Yes, that was a beautiful
moment. Oh my God,
moment.
That was crazy. So they took this toy that she like put, she like personified this toy that she found as a baby, and she literally couldn't let it go. Like she was getting crazy. She was having like a nervous breakdown. And also never forget the scene where she let the balloon go in the park.
Yes, first season.
Because they were trying,
or second,
because she
second.
Didn't get nominated for an Emmy, they were trying to give her like more her character, more dramatic heft, since that's really the only thing. Because
her first season was all about fucking the long guy, right?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, her first season was just to be like the sassy one.
The sexy, sexy
one who like fucked the high school kid who was literally a 30-year-old man.
When you think about that, to fuck a high school kid is crazy.
It's fully crazy, I literally can't believe it happened on that show. But Bowen, favorite scene in all of television or film history?
Favorite scene in all of television, film, art, as I believe Pat said.
Or literature.
Right, or literature. Grey's Anatomy, this is controversial season. Season 5?
Ooh, I don't remember it.
Oh my God.
Sandra Oh comes home. I forget what the context was. It's not in the episode. It's in the performance and in the delivery of this one line. She confronts Owen.
Yes, I know this scene.
She confronts Owen about something, and she just like really, really like
Owen's over there, season 5?
Yeah.
So
Owen Burr. All right,
stoically, she just like late season 5 or early season 6. I might be getting this wrong, but she stoically like takes him to task, and then Matt, you know this line, and then she ends this. Like, just delivers it devoid of emotion, then it all cracks at this last line.
Yes,
she goes,
"Yes.
And
you took a piece of me.
And that
it will never happen again." Sandra Oh,
goddess.
Icon, goddess.
Icon.
I love
television.
Her. I love her.
Screen. Goddess.
The fact that she never won an Emmy for Grey's Anatomy is a
trap. Wait, can I
it means
something
the Emmys should be canceled.
Can I say something that really happened to me?
What?
There was a year, it was Sandra Oh's last year on Grey's.
Yeah.
And it was one of her last, it was actually, I think, her last episode of Grey's. And she...
Where she talks to Meredith.
He is not the son. You are.
No, it was not even. I think she had an episode after that where she was the narrator of it. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And it was like, it started with like her being like, "Who are you? How did you get? Who are you? Where are you? How did you get here?" And it was like
those
that.
Monologues.
And it's like how did? And it's like her. That's what you say to a patient to like let them like to see if they're like cognizant. Yeah. And then it like ends with her being like, "Who are you? Like where are you?" And it's like was so good. And I walked around New York City for a full, like, 4 months telling people that I thought that that episode should have been nominated for an Emmy Award, an episode of season 10 of Grey's Anatomy.
Oh, my God. I mean, Sandra
She
oh.
didn't stop doing great work. I mean, she totally could have hung it up, but she kept doing great work till the very end.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Wait, no. But there's so many great Sandra Oh moments. Like, how about, it's not difficult.
It's unbearable.
Wait, when is
oh
that?
My God. In the second season when he's interviewing all them.
No, this is season four where she has to report that she fucked a Preston
Yes,
Burke.
Yes, yes. Here it is, right. A detailed report on my sexual history. Satisfied? And they're like, we have to do this. It's like our job. Like, sorry. And she's like, it's not difficult. That's not difficult. It's unbearable. And then but it's like attached to a whole monologue. It's so good.
Part of that monologue, she goes, I am. She goes,
oh my God, so good. I was his hand.
I was his hand. And now I'm a ghost.
The best. And now I'm a ghost. And the best is when.
For that, she says,
she goes, I was the unseen hand to his brilliance. And then she literally, a tear rolls down her face and she looks away from the camera and she goes, I'm sorry.
Excuse me.
And then she resumes the monologue and like, it's just, it's so fine. And also, never forget, somebody sedate me.
Wait, when is that?
First season. Oh my God, Pat. Who are you? Who do you claim to be?
Season one, season two. It's been a while. But also, remember that stint where it's like her and Mr. Feeney in Minnesota.
Mr. Feeney,
the guy who plays Mr. Feeney.
Oh my God, no, I don't remember that.
So she remember they take their boards or whatever, not their board, like they're like, I think it's yeah, their boards. The one that Kepner fails because she's fucking Jackson.
Oh, this is so late. I stopped so watching late. At this point.
Okay, well,
wait. Can I just say it would have been really nice if Christina Yang, like Meredith Grey's best friend, to like fly back from Europe to like check in on with her after her husband died.
I know,
and that's my biggest problem. Yeah. I think with Grey's Anatomy is like they started it out with all these characters and we bought into the world and everything, and then it's like, oh yeah, and then Izzy left and never came back because we don't like her. But also, like, I'm Shonda Rhimes and let me just give Isaiah Washington a chance again because I don't really care though he said faggot, and I will save this for my I don't think so, honey.
Okay.
All right. And I want to say one more thing attached to that is I want Addison to come back for one episode.
Addison
can come back for
totally
one episode.
Totally one of the best characters.
She was one of the best characters.
And no, the answer is no, because Grey's Anatomy is a husk of its former self.
Right.
But God. Addison. Oh, that entrance line. Her first line.
What is it again?
Hi, you're sleeping with my husband.
Oh, right.
So you're the woman that's sleeping with my husband.
And you must be sleeping with my husband.
Yeah. And now they ever, whenever anyone's like cheats with like, truly, since then, whenever anyone like cheats on their like spouse, everyone's like, "What, Meredith did it?" And it's like, "It's not the same." Everyone always acts like it was like a husband.
She Litt didn't know.
I know.
Meredith Litt didn't know.
She Litt didn't know.
Meredith Litt didn't know. And also, she was Christina's person.
And one other thing I'll say that I meant you are my to say person. Is when we talked about the OC. The OC is an example of a show that would be perfect if it's not. Remember, they opened it up with the first six episodes like before, like in August, as like a preview.
Yes.
Those six episodes should have been like the whole series. They should have ended it right then. And it would have been perfect television.
I thought the full first season was finished.
It was good, but
the
that
second
was
season
six.
Is where it's fucking at.
No.
Grey's Anatomy?
No,
the OC.
Oh, the OC.
I threw back to OC.
Yeah. No. The first season was perfect, and then the literal first episode of season two was Marissa screaming and throwing that chair in the pool, and that's when you knew it was over.
The OC OC started with a six episode build up that ended with them coming out of Tijuana with Ryan carrying Marissa, and it had that my favorite moment of all of television, which is when Ryan. I know, when like the second episode or maybe the first where Luke punches Ryan in the face and says, "Welcome to the OC, bitch."
Oh yeah. That's the first episode.
I always do that to people.
The whole Oliver Trask.
Oh,
so good.
The New Year's kiss. Oh, come on.
We thought Oliver was going to be good in the beginning, and then all of a sudden he was fully crazy. I remember it was like one of those Fox promos that were like, next OC. And it was like, Oliver, no! The screen goes to black and you hear a gunshot.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh my God.
He was fine a second ago.
Yeah, exactly.
He literally wasn't a mental case a second ago.
Let's move on to I Don't Think So, Honey.
Wait, okay. No,
I Don't Think So, Honey. Last time it was people who came for Selena, but now no one's really coming for her anymore, so I have to be true to that.
I mean, no one's coming for her because I think she's really sick, right? Isn't she not well?
She's in rehab, I think.
For like, she but not for rehab. Drugs.
Though. Maybe.
I think she might be in rehab for like her mental health.
Oh, sometimes they're connected.
Sometimes.
I honestly don't know what's going on.
But I think I literally read something was like they made a clarification. They were like, she's not going to rehab.
Oh, that's
for drink drugs and alcohol. She's going to rehab to work on her well being.
If you're famous, mm-hmm. you can be hospitalized for exhaustion.
Yeah, that's true. All right, I have a good I don't think so, honey. I have two, and I'm going to do 30-30.
30-30? Okay, yeah. All right, this is unprecedented.
Are you going to time me?
I'll time you, okay. All right, and then should I just end you at the first, or what's the deal?
Okay. No, you know what? I'm only going to do one.
Okay, all right.
All right, ready?
Great, yep. Matt Rodgers, I don't think so, honey. Time starts now.
I don't think so, honey. Shonda Rhimes. And you know what? I bet a lot of people are going to be very surprised to hear me come from Miss Shonda today because I obviously love her work. I obviously am a fan, long-time listener, first-time caller to you, honey, because I have a bone to pick with you. And guess what? You might have thought you got away with this, but you didn't. How dare you? I don't think so, honey. Give Isaiah Washington, a homophobe, a second chance on your show, and then constantly still drag Katherine Heigl in the media. You better stop pretending to be all about women when guess what? There was one woman out there who was a little outspoken and then she gets kicked off your show and you constantly drag her through the mud when you have no reason to. I don't think so, honey. Isaiah Washington called T.R. Knight a faggot in the middle of the woods and you thought it would stay in the woods, honey. If a tree falls, maybe no one sees it. But if someone says faggot, they get punched out by Derek Shepherd. And guess what? The media knows. And also, Shonda Rhimes hates gay people. There, I said it. You just because one rim job on ABC does not make it okay to bring Isaiah Washington back. I don't think so, honey.
That's 1 minute. Oh my god!
Wow. Some people think if you lick a butt on primetime TV, it mends all bridges.
You
but
think
that
Shonda Rhimes hates gay people?
I think that Shonda Rhimes uses us as props.
But never. Why never a gay man in Grace except for one episode arc?
Because Shonda Rhimes didn't care about gay people until she needed to break down a new frontier. And she's like, what haven't I done yet? Oh, yeah, rim job on
television. Also, I think that gay characters on Scandal.
Oh, I don't watch.
Here's the deal. I don't hate Shonda Rhimes, and I'm like, pumping this full of air because, like, whatever.
No,
but
I
will say that, like, it's not acceptable that she gave Isaiah Washington a second chance like that and be like, oh, well, it was to wrap up this character and this relationship. And it was like, fuck that, because there's never been more, like, plot lines hanging than with the Izzy character not returning. I mean, there's so much investment in that character early on. She became a lead of that show.
Right, I think,
and then for her to just go away in that way, like, literally, they should have just killed the character off.
I mean, we all know that famous monologue at the end of season
two.
And that did make her lead. But I think that for it to be equal, we need to see Alex leave the show. I mean, to see what she does for that. Because if Alex left the show and she didn't bring Izzy back, then it would be the same. But if her defense is because she wanted to wrap up the loose strings of Christina and she like owed it to that character, then I think we need to see Alex leave, if that makes sense.
Isaiah Washington called T.R. Knight a faggot, and then he said the word faggot again, like in the press room at the Emmys, and like it just was ugly, and he's a homophobe.
No,
and,
I agree.
Like, why did she give him a second chance? I don't understand. And then drag Katherine Heigl in the media, like as if she hasn't been drug enough. Like, I don't think she's that bad of a person. Like, give me a break.
No, neither do I. And she's in. What is she in right now?
She's in a CBS show with Laverne Cox. I don't really know. And also, I'll never forget, like, when that all happened, Katherine Heigl was out there toward the press being like, this is really upsetting me, the fact that he said this, and he shouldn't be speaking in public, and, like, I will defend T.R. Knight till my dying day. Like, that's my really good friend. And I'm like, wow, that's really cool and exciting that she, like, had his back, and that's her friend and everything, and she wasn't afraid to say anything. But she doesn't get any accolades for that. She only gets shit for the stuff that she said, like, for example, with calling out Knocked Up for a little bit of sexism, which I'm sorry, but watch the movie, like, it is a little bit sexist. Like, sure, like, whatever. But, like, I think it was, like, kind of anti-feminist of, like, everyone involved, the Katherine Heigl thing. I think it's really kind of a shame.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I don't think so, honey.
Okay. All right.
Wow. I didn't think of mine. I'm really nervous about you.
That's okay. I'll go next.
Okay.
Great. Maya, I don't think so, honey. Matt, do you want to keep an eye on the clock for me?
Yes.
Great.
Bowen Yang's I Don't Think So, Honey starts...
Okay, I'm sorry. Can we start that again? Because you did not say the word now.
I just thought, like, it was intuitive.
Sorry, it wasn't. Okay, you ready?
starts now.
I don't think so, honey. At Shanghai Disneyland who cut the lines, especially at rides like Soarin' over the world, over the landmarks of the world, when it's a 3-hour wait, mama. People in China do have no sense of decorum in waiting and waiting in lines, respecting the queue. They cut. They snake through the sardine-packed lines. The little maze of whatever people that are just trying to get on fucking Tron Light Cycle Run. They say, I have to meet my parents who are waiting for me up front. Bullshit, you have your parents here with you. You're there alone because, look, it's a one-child-only policy. You're there. You're used to being alone. And I see right through you, honey. I don't like this disregard for the basic rules of society, honey. China, you are a farce of a country. I'm ashamed to be from China.
That's 1 minute. Ooh, Bowen wow. Yang is ashamed to be from China. You heard it here live on Las wow. Culturistas. Maybe that's not live.
That was a heavy, I don't think so, honey.
That
was
they yeah. both have been pretty heavy.
They've
so
both
far.
Been heavy. Been wow. heavy. No, yeah, then that opens the doors.
It's a reflection of our moods.
Bowen is going through something right now.
And
what's
it's Bowen,
wrong?
And it's Bowen's birthday.
Are you just tired?
I'm tired, and I'm like, yeah, this is an adjustment week, and like I'm just having to right. to consider a lot.
What's adjustment
know?
Week? What's going on?
He got back from China.
I just got back from China.
Oh, okay.
Didn't yeah, you hear us? I don't think so, honey.
Yeah.
Okay. So now
I just hope there's not something really wrong.
What do you suspect?
Is Mercury in a retrograde?
No.
Or is that the excuse that I always make? But I want to save you, but I can only save myself. That's a shitty song from the second half of Prism by Katy Perry.
I love that.
I was trying to give Pat more time to think.
Okay,
of
now I have one. Now that I realize it doesn't have to be about necessarily pop culture, but like just about the
you
world.
You can do anything
us.
That upsets you.
Anything.
Totally.
Okay. All right. I'll give you the time, Pat. This is Pat Regan's I Don't Think So, Honey. Time starts now.
I don't think so, honey, about people who shame me about posting on social like too much or about like ever being on your phone ever. Because people act like if you're in a conversation with them that you have to be engaged. But how about you, like, engage me? And you know what I mean? Like, I have my phone. And, like, let's not ever guilt anyone for being on our phone. So we all do it. Like, I don't care if I'm staying on the subway steps and you need to, like, sidestep for a second. Because guess what? Can we all just, like, take a deep breath and not roll our eyes quite so hard at each other for being on our phones? And secondly, I will always post my truth on social media, on facebook.com, on twitter.com, no matter what. And I will do that. I will post every single thought that ever enters into my head, and I have a right to do that. And for those of you who do not post every thought that comes into your head, well, then I feel truly sorry for you that you're so ashamed and embarrassed, or that you don't have thoughts that are interesting enough to post. And honestly, I will never, not once, ever again feel badly for speaking my truth, because I used to do that, and guess what? It almost killed me.
Is this gonna be what saves you?
Yes.
That's 1 minute. Pat, beautiful. That was wonderful.
Oh god, what a fun episode. And the last thing that I'll say is I truly love Laguna Beach.
Guys, you can catch Pat Regan when he returns to Loin Nights someday. You can also catch him on Twitter at P.O. Regan. And it's really... Yeah, I knew it. I knew it.
Looking at
he's my favorite little present.
Oh,
I
my
love
God.
Pat.
You guys.
I will say, full disclosure to the listeners, I came into this episode a little flustered because Pat had a hard time finding the building.
Well, no, that's not true necessarily.
But I had to go outside. I had to go outside and try to find
true,
Pat.
Bo.
We just missed each other. Pat went into the wrong building.
That's not true, Bam.
But well, Bowen, I have to say, you're commended for doing, like, a really good job of hiding that.
But no, look, but we've come a long way since that, haven't we, Pat?
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
And I want to say, too, that my maps on my phone said that 250 Mercer was up over Waverly, and it's, in fact, several blocks below that.
Absolutely.
And then I want to say that the man inside this building directed me to the wrong elevator shaft, and I went up to the wrong pillar. But that is where I met my husband, a hot man who told me where to find the B building.
And how did they tell you that you would do sexually in Europe?
He didn't mention.
Pat, what's the last thing you'll say?
I truly love Laguna Beach. And can we talk about Nicolette?
Thank you, guys. Last Couple Reasons, I'm Matt Rogers.
And I'm Bowen Yang.
And that was Pat Regan, our guest. Thank you, Forever Dog. We'll see you guys next time.
Bye.
Forever Dog. This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Joe Cilio, Alex Ramsey, and Brett Boehm. For more podcasts, please visit ForeverDogProductions.com.